Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends, I'm just trying to make a little money. My job, not just to entertain, but to put this whole thing in context, why don't you call me, 1-800-743-CBC, or tweet me, Jim Cramer. How big is AI? Look, this technological revolution is crossing all barriers, even potentially becoming the heart of our national security apparatus. So we'd be like ostriches with our heads in the sand if we don't address it here on Mad Money. I think it could potentially be the key to making the biggest amount of money over the next half decade that we can do. Not just the next week or next month or quarter as the professional bubble bursters and all their negativity keep claiming, and they're all around me. It drives me crazy. So on a day when the average is regrouped after a couple of days of pain, the Dow advancing 76 points, has to be rising 0.51%, NASDAQ gaining 0.58%, why don't we just spell out the stakes here so you know what I'm really thinking? First, one of the few tech stocks that's been able to hold its head up high this week is, of course, NVIDIA. That's because it has the cards, the graphic processing units, or GPU cards. These NVIDIA semis run much faster than anyone else's, with the sole exception of AMD, which is their only real competitor. By the way, the next generation of NVIDIA GPUs will far exceed what AMD currently has. Plus, it's learning software that make it the preferred thinking chip for generative AI that really is the exceptional thing they've got going. NVIDIA stock has turned into a rocket ship precisely because it's already making so much money off these chips. Many would say that they almost have a monopoly on this category of the highest powered GPUs. We just don't know how long it'll take for someone else to play catch up. This monopoly is born from the years of blood, sweat, and tears shed by CEO Jensen Huang and his team, not from some short-term brainstorms the critics would have you believe. And now it's paying off in extraordinary ways. And believe me, I remember when he was in the wilderness, in the vineyards. No one else listening. Me. Take yesterday. Just when you might have thought that NVIDIA was finally going to roll over with the rest of tech, the company presented a healthcare briefing. Healthcare, which reminded us that standard computing science is really only a small part of the NVIDIA universe. There's autos. Yes, NVIDIA's in the Tesla. There's factories, the so-called digital twin, trillions of dollars in business. There's banks, a vertical where fraud can be detected incredibly quickly by NVIDIA-led devices. Hey, there's sovereign AI. The end markets are practically limitless. And of course, the biggest of all is inference, which now accounts for 40% of the company's business. 40%. What's inference? It's the computer equivalent to mind reading. The kind of mind reading that, say, Amazon does in order to figure out what you might want before you know what you want. When I first met Jensen Huang, he taught me about waste. That's the first thing he brought up. How his graphics cards need to burn less heat. He didn't want waste. He's already made them much more efficient at this point. But when you put thousands of these chips together, they drain an incredible amount of power and produce a ton of waste heat. Companies that use huge clusters of them need far more power than the grid makers ever imagined that we require in our slowing, deindustrializing society. No one thought that one new industry, the generative AI industry, could single-handedly drive up the needs for power by about 5% per year. That is gigantic, people, especially when you remember that the power generation business hadn't been growing in any appreciable way for decades. We've been moribund. But think about what's going on here. The immense computing power needed to run all these AI-enabled devices and the data centers and the machine stands at the heart of the current reindustrial revolution that we're undergoing in this country. The sheer amount of data center construction that's going on partially explains why Caterpillar stock has been such a horse in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's why an old-line industrial like Cramer Charitable Trust fave Eaton could reach the top of the list of companies with urgent demand for helping the ailing power grid handle all this excess electricity. It's why an outfit like Vertiv, Dave Cote, chairman, which makes specialized power, cooling, and IT infrastructure products for the data center, outperformed even the hottest stock in the S&P 500 this year. Too bad it wasn't a member, it would have been number one. Now, though, we're headed for the real battleground, people. These data centers aren't just data hogs. Their data needs to be parsed by software from a Salesforce, say, or summoned by a ServiceNow, and they have to be connected to the grid in places that have low energy costs. Oh, and for many, cheap energy isn't enough. It's got to be clean, too. See, right now, there's a furious race among the power generation utilities to meet this new demand with clean power and phase out dirty coal. And that's why Constellation Energy, a nuclear company, the wind kicker, is up 54% this year. Get that, 54%. The big data players, Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta, Apple, they want to be carbon neutral based on what the EPA calls scope 3 emissions, meaning no emissions from their own assets and no emissions from the electric provider either. In other words, if utilities want their business, they need to go solar or go wind or go nuclear, and they definitely need to not have any coal. The result? A burst in renewable sustained power that's producing some of the best winners of the moment, like that outfit we had on the other night, Nextracker, with technology that helps make commercial solar panels more efficient. Look at this, Eaton, I mentioned that one. Parker Hannifin, Cummins, remember, we went to see them? Holy cow. They are roaring for the same reason. All old-line industrials that have a hand in building this stuff, they were very visionary. Oh, and the reindustrialization of the Midwest, I got to tell you, we just don't talk enough about positives, but I try to change that in this show. Oh, okay, I get this one. I spent some time talking with GE Vernova today. Sure, that's going to be the gold standard and win when it separates from General Electric in the next couple of months. I know people are lukewarm about GE's power business and long considered the worst part of the company. But just as I became a believer and then a proselytizer for GE Healthcare for its best-in-show MRIs, we own it for the Charitable Trust, I am coming around to GE Vernova as a major player thanks to this artificial intelligence-fueled green energy build-out, and I like what they had to say to analysts. Still, these data centers have so much demand for power that the intermittent alternative energy plays, think wind and solar, can't handle it all. Nuclear is actually the only truly consistent source of clean power, but it's insanely difficult to build a new nuclear plant. Although Vernova did tell me today they're starting to see some success building the equivalent of a cookie cutter kind of nukes in Canada, small form factor. So you end up needing natural gas, though, and the natural gas companies like Enbridge, which runs the largest network of natural gas transmission pipelines, and we have them on tonight, is buying into this. Enbridge is buying assets that will put them at the forefront of this bridge fuel. Nat gas is cleaner than coal and cheaper than anything other than coal. Not carbon-free, but better than letting the lights out or having the data centers go overseas. It's not just a battleground involving our own power grid. It's also about who owns the intellectual property. Right now, NVIDIA, and to a lesser extent, AMD, make the GPUs that you need to run this technology. But they're only the designers. The actual capital equipment needed to make all this stuff involves outfits like Lam Research, Applied Materials, KLA, ASML, and, of course, most important, the Uber manufacturer that is Taiwan Semiconductor. So the chips are made in Taiwan. Taiwan Semi is terrific stock, but there are some other very tricky things at work here right now that we have to talk about. Our government's doing its level best to try to keep China from getting our latest and greatest. With the Commerce Department just directly telling the other day, AMD, those chips might be too good for China. The government, well, actually, they really think too fast, but the government says they need to dumb them down a little. Last year, NVIDIA was blocked from selling the Chinese its best chips because of national security. Remember, right now, you cannot do accelerated computing and generative AI without NVIDIA's chips, hence why its stock can have that valuation. How long can China stand by and do nothing if we own all the intellectual property behind these revolutionary technologies? Is it a chokehold on all their ambitions, or will they eventually just start making their own pirated knockoffs? Is it squelching visions of a stronger military using our own AI against us? Either way, it's all coming together for what I call our nation-state companies, formerly part of the broken band that was the Magnificent Seven. I bet if they can't get the system they want, by the way, the clean system, they might just build it themselves. So the bottom line here is this. The AI revolution is already producing some of the most investable themes of all time. We just need to look into the data center, peer into the cloud, and harvest these incredible ideas while being mindful of the geopolitical issues that could make this business vulnerable. If the Chinese just say, we can't afford to fall this far behind the U.S. as a military power. Zachary in New York. Zachary.
Jimmy, chill. Thanks for all you do. You're the GOAT.
Oh, whoa, GOAT. Like that. What's going on, man?
I'm calling about a company that pretty much has a monopoly on supplying EUV machines for semiconductors. Okay. I added to my position after fourth quarter earnings and after Jensen Huang spoke about the dependence on ASML for making advanced AI chips. With the stock closing at an all-time high today, what's your opinion on ASML? Is this one
okay, I will tell you, I am in awe of ASML. I know that a lot of people look at the chart and they think Supermicro, they think NVIDIA. I don't know what to say. They're just an unbelievably good company. By the way, their machines are the size of a city bus. I mean, these guys are just, they are rigorous. So I like this gentleman. Chillman says fine to Zach. Let's go to Eric in Michigan. Eric.
Jim, how you doing today?
Just having a dynamite day, Eric. I was incredibly productive.
Jim, let me just say, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., I don't miss your shows. I thoroughly enjoy them, and we all are better investors because of you.
Ah, thank you, buddy. Thank you. See, I like this guy.
Well, I appreciate you as well. Jim, I'm calling on General Motors today. Here's a stock that has had the sales have been through the roof for the last 2 years. They've announced a major share buyback. We know the Cruise division's in the penalty box, but hopefully that's up and running this year. But yet it trades at a forward P of under 5. Is this stock going to ever go higher?
Okay, so look, Mary Barr is doing a terrific job. I mean, look, everyone's just afraid that one day that we're going to wake up and the Chinese autos are going to be here up from Mexico and it's going to be the end of GM. I don't think so. I think GM is a great company. I think it's a buy right here. I do wish they, I obviously wish they had a bigger yield. We own Ford for the Travel Trust because we know that they are the hybrid king. But I want you to stick with General Motors. Okay, the AI revolution is already producing some of the most investable themes we have ever seen in our investing lives. We just need to peer into the cloud and harvest these incredible ideas. Man Money Tonight, CrowdStrike, talk about an incredible idea, has posted its fourth straight quarter of GAAP income. So can this cyber firm safeguard your portfolio from the threats? I've got the CEO. Now, can Enbridge's recent pipeline expansions power the stock higher and help the AI grow faster? Don't miss my exclusive with the company's top brass. And I'm taking a closer look at the one underappreciated sector of this market, healthcare utilization. Hey, it's more interesting than you think. I'll prove it when I show you my hernia scars. Maybe we'll save that. Stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on X. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Mentions. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Look at this incredible move in the stock of CrowdStrike, up more than 10% today. Last night, CrowdStrike reported a terrific top and bottom line beat. On top of that, management gave better than expected guidance for both the current quarter and the full fiscal year. And it's now, I'm going to say it, feisty CEO George Kurtz talked about he's seeing great orders and, more importantly, maybe winning business from competitors. No wonder the stock caught fire today. So can it keep running? Let's take a closer look with Mr. Kurtz, the co-founder, president, and CEO of CrowdStrike. Find out more about the quarter and the future. Mr. Kurtz, welcome back to Mad Money.
Great to be here, Jim.
All right, so George, I had a kind of a chill when I got to maybe your 12th paragraph where you started to talk about how, you know, cloud today, battleground for cyber attacks, generative AI, which we all love, right, is an adversary force multiplier. George, when I read that, I said maybe the bad guys have jumped ahead of the good guys. Is that going to happen?
Absolutely, Jim. What we're seeing right now is the use of generative AI to really democratize some of the very esoteric techniques and attacks and make those techniques available to folks maybe that don't have the same sophistication and skill level. And what we talked about in the earnings call is the ability to create more adversaries with lower skill levels, but operating at a much higher skill level, leveraging generative AI. Of course, on the security side, we leverage generative AI to help protect our customers. So it's going to be the battle of AI in the future.
But you know, we've got companies like United Health, and I've had the privilege of interviewing them many times. This is one of the most sophisticated, best-run companies in the world, George. And yet they have seemingly been caught up in a hack that I would have thought would have been stopped or caught earlier. I mean, these are great, you know, a great company can just still get hacked. I'm sure they had systems.
Well, when you look at any company that's out there, we've talked about this before. It is so easy to become a victim. And I always look at this as, you know, not blaming the victim, but focusing on how determined the adversaries are. And almost any company is going to have an incident. You're going to have adversaries get in. And one of the things that we've really focused our efforts on, Jim, as you know, many years coming on the show, is stopping the breach, not just stopping malware. And you have to instrument your security for not only protecting against these systems, but also protecting against identity, which was an outstanding business for us, as we called out, over $300 million in ARR, up dramatically quarter over quarter and year over year.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because identity, there are others who have taken that crown, or at least think they have that crown, but it's so integral to trying to get the bad guys that you were just able to put it in on your platform, correct?
We did, and I think that's the beauty of the platform is with the single agent, single platform, single console, it's very easy for us to add new capabilities. When we think about identity, that's a broad term. We focus on identity protection. You have identity creators like Azure and Microsoft. You have identity aggregators like Ping and Okta, and you have companies like ours that are focused on identity protection. That's a critical element to having the full stack of a zero trust architecture, and it's served our customers really well.
Now, there were two issues that came up. I want to tackle them head on because I don't want to be like, oh, Jim owns this Palo Alto First Charitable Trust, so he's not going to take on anybody as Charitable Trust. I don't play that way. CrowdStrike Holdings, UBS, no fatigue here. Morgan Stanley, no spending fatigue here. Now, these are references to when Nikesh was Arora, who's the CEO, and I know you and I think a great deal, but he did use the term fatigue, and it may have been misinterpreted, whatever. Let's just describe whether you're seeing any fatigue anywhere in the whole food chain of cybercrime and what people are trying to do to stop it.
Well, we're certainly not seeing fatigue in cybercrime. That's been more active than ever. And really, I think there's a lot of fatigue in the companies that are saddled with legacy technologies and having to band-aid different technologies together and platforms. What customers are focused on and what we're focused on delivering for them is the right outcome, stopping breaches with a simple single platform that allows them to add capability seamlessly without multi-month implementations and without complexity. And you're seeing that in the results, and I think the numbers in Q4 speak for themselves. And that is something, you know, Jim, we talk about overnight success. This has been in the making for many, many years, and I've talked to you about being the Salesforce of security, and this is something that we're delivering.
Okay, no, let's switch directions here for a second. I'm going to read a paragraph that I thought was pretty frightening. And this is a win that you had, an eight-figure multi-year win in a Fortune 100 business where the Falcon platform displays five different products with recent breaches costing them hundreds of millions of dollars. Man, this is going on and we don't even know it?
Well, there's a lot of costs associated with this, Jim. And, you know, now with the SEC disclosures, you have a lot more visibility. Before that, you didn't necessarily. And when you look at how much it cost in ransomware, you're talking about tens and tens of millions of dollars of single ransoms being paid. Then you look at the cleanup, the downtime, the impact. You look at the legal fees. You look at the lawsuits. Immediately when this happens, you've got all the lawyers that are about to create these class action lawsuits. So you put all this in a bucket and you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's just incredible to me. And you've really been able to be the first person to explain exactly how horrendous this is for corporate America. Now, this is another one that bothered me. Wins from the quarter include a seven-figure deal with a mega cruise line using a next-gen product that can never be fully deployed. Upgrades and operations were disaster. Who sells products like this?
Well, this is the challenge in the security industry, and that is one platform is not the same. You can create PowerPoints, and I always said I've never seen a PowerPoint that was wrong, that looked the same until you actually implement the product. Something like CrowdStrike Falcon that was built from the ground up to be easy to install, easy to deploy, and easy to manage. And we see this time and time again. People may try to buy something. They may think it's cheaper. It's not. Free is not free. Cheap is you get what you pay for. In this particular case, you're talking about customers that had incidents, they had issues, and more importantly, they had technology they couldn't deploy and operate.
But one last one. We collect trillions of threat signals. Well, I was thinking maybe it's going to be yearly, maybe, I don't know, monthly. Daily? Trillions?
Daily.
I mean, come on.
Trillions.
If 10 get through, we could destroy the banking system. I don't want to be over. You know what I mean? I'm saying that bank, if you're J.P. Morgan, you can't afford to have one of these.
Well, there's a lot of companies out there, and just on the banking side, we protect 15 of the top 20 banks in the world, right? So when we think about the signals that we get from the industries, part of our whole goal and philosophy has been community immunity. We take, as we built a data platform in Falcon, we take these signals, we understand what they look like, we use our AI and generative AI on top of all this massive data sets, and then that is then continually learning and protecting our customers. And that's the outcome they're looking for.
Well, look, I'm going to congratulate you. Yeah, you are taking names, you're taking business, and you're doing a remarkable job. And as you said, you've never missed. George Kurtz is the co-founder, president, and CEO of CrowdStrike. I want everyone to read his conference call before you buy this, and you will understand why I'm so excited about this situation. Thank you, George. Great to see you.
Thank you, Jim.
Mad Money's back after the break.
Coming up, energy has its ups and downs, but can investors set their watches to this power player's dividend? Cramer's got the CEO next.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Like I mentioned at the top of the show, the demand for electricity is now increasing at a 5% annual clip after years of going nowhere. Thanks in large part to the energy drain from all these data centers that you need if you want to make use of generative artificial intelligence accelerated computing. In a world where the demand for power is on the rise, we need natural gas, which brings me to Enbridge, the Canadian pipeline kingpin that moves 20% of the natural gas consumed in the United States, not to mention the biggest business, which is the 30% of the crude oil produced in North America. Yeah, that's who's exporting. At least they're getting it into the ships. Best of all, Enbridge pays you to wait for the natural gas resurgence with a 7.7% dividend yield. I think this is Enbridge's moment, and clearly someone over there feels the same way, because they held an investor day today in New York Stock Exchange, and it was just a very exciting, exciting production. Right before that event, we got to speak to Greg Ebel. He's an old friend of the show, president and CEO of Enbridge. Take a look. Greg, it's great to have you for this full-day analyst meeting. I think people need to know your company better. I want to start with what our people want to know, which is huge dividend and a long history of paying one. Why don't we start there, and then we'll go about how that happens.
Yeah, it's a key part of the investor proposition, Jim, right? So 29 years in a row of increasing the dividend. Over the last 5 years, we have paid shareholders $34 billion in dividends. And over the next 5 years, we will pay out approximately $40 billion of dividends. So key part of the business, and you underline that with four great business franchises, and keep going all the way forward.
Okay, you make a very big acquisition with, frankly, a company that I have called trouble, where I think you got some great assets. What will that mean for you, and how far along are you on paying off these assets so that we can figure out whether 2025 proposition?
Absolutely. So we're about 90% of that completely financed, which I think was important to get that done. We did most of that late last year. And then we'll bring in the three utilities. So you're talking about the Dominion acquisition, the three utilities, Ohio, North Carolina, and Utah and Wyoming. Don't be surprised to see us close one of those in the next couple of days.
That's
I feel very good about that. Yeah, I think that'll be ahead of investor expectations.
Definitely.
And we're really excited to get those men and women on board because, as you know, natural gas is really the future under any energy scenario that you look at.
Let's go there for a second before we talk about how big you are. I've been talking to a lot of the data center crowd, so to speak, and they're growing. We probably have the largest demand for electricity, maybe in our country's history, if this goes that. Are you prepared to help these, what I'm calling the GPU problem, help the data centers, and where are they located versus your footprint?
Yeah, so a variety of different places. Now, remember, we're in 43 states, so they're pretty well located everywhere in eight provinces in Canada. So on the natural gas side, Ohio, interestingly enough, where we're about to get the utility and where we have gas pipelines and oil pipelines and renewable resources, and I'll come back to that in a second, that's a big location for these data centers. So we can sell them gas. We'll be selling them renewable. And a lot of these data centers are interested in signing up long-term renewable contracts with us, very utility-like. The natural gas is the backup. North Carolina, where I would expect to get that utility inside. That also is going to be a great opportunity in that Raleigh region. And, you know, we're located near Charlotte. So great growing locations for those. We can give them gas. We can give them renewables. And we're ready to go on that front as well.
All right. People know you from the history as being, well, geez, you're a great exporter of Canadian crude. Yeah. I think that we need to set the plan here. How big are you in the U.S. versus your competitors?
Yeah, so we move 30% of all the oil that moves in the country today in the United States. We go by about 75% of all the refineries. And the great kicker, because I believe the future of energy is through North America and out of it, we have the largest export facility out of the United States for crude down in Ingleside near Corpus Christi, Texas. And a great opportunity there. And we just announced earlier today an expansion of some of the docks there so that we'll be able to do the very large crude carriers as well as the Aframax and Suezmaxes as well.
I don't think people realize how important this is. What we've been doing in a lot of cases is a two-step process, small ship to big ship. And I'm always worried about spills, too.
Right.
This is going to change. We're basically going to be a large exporter, just like the great exporters, say, OPEC+.
Yeah.
Except for it's our crude. Enough crude here to export?
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of crude, right? First of all, most of that crude is coming from the Permian. Probably the largest, is the largest growth area from crude. Probably add another couple of million barrels of crude out of the Permian by the end of the decade. And we expect to bring a lot of that into Ingleside and then ship it abroad. You know, as North Americans, Jim, we often forget part of energy transition in other parts of the world is going to crude because, you know, they're using far less sustainable and more dirty fuel. Not everybody's where we are, and crude really provides that. Not to mention the geopolitical power of the United States being able to provide crude to our friends, as opposed to people being forced into getting it from places like, I don't know, Russia, which, well, you know, has been a challenge.
I think that there's a gut check moment here. There are many people in our country, myself included, we want to be able to forestall climate change, fix climate change.
Sure.
But we have an energy security issue, of which I regard Enbridge as being key to our continent's energy security.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just security, Jim. Affordability. Remember, really powerful for industry. You know, frankly, the ability to use natural gas in this country for industry, the ability for consumers to have choice, to be able to pick affordable energy. You know, it's challenging for a lot of people to put food on the table, to pay the rent. If you can keep the energy bills down, and that's only possible through the use of natural gas, that is a powerful economic tool that I think policymakers are starting to realize. And we've had that view about energy transition for a long time. We're going to need it all.
Okay, so someone might say who doesn't really follow this very closely, wait a second, natural gas under $2, not sustainable for Enbridge, not realizing that that's not what you're levered to.
Correct, right. So I often, and you and I have talked about this before, I often think of us as like the FedEx of natural gas. We pick up the product, same with on the gas side, we'll store it, we'll hold it, and then we deliver it where it's needed. So we do not have any commodity exposure, right? So we are just, long-term fundamentals for energy are only going up, and the need for natural gas is going up, and the continued need for growth is going up on oil as well. So as long as you need the infrastructure, which I don't see any other solution to that, you're going to need the Enbridges of the world.
Okay, one last question, because we know people are going to say that dividend's great and we know it's secure. But what I want to be certain about is I do fear underperformance. There's a couple of analysts that are following you, not as many as I'd like. They're not as bullish about short term. I feel like if you do these financings, don't have to do maybe an at the market, whatever, that this may be a trough. Now, I know, of course, obviously, you're bullish in your own stock, but what I just want to figure out is it possible that the growth prospects could be greater than what people have been thinking right now?
Well, as we announced today, we expect to see our EBITDA grow by 7 to 9%. Last year, we were 5 or 6.
There you go.
You know, the per share growth will still be in that 5% range.
Right.
But and then interest rates. Remember, as a dividend stock, we're sensitive to interest rates. I don't know where interest rates are going to go, but I doubt they're going up. And as they go down, I think that's going to compress the yield, increase the price.
Leave it at that, because that's terrific news. That's Greg Ebel is the president and CEO of Enbridge. And just understand, full day analyst meeting, really telling a story that I have liked little, I guess, since I started the show. Hey, Greg, thank you so much.
Great,
I want you to have a great day.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much.
Coming up, precision machinery for when the stakes are at their highest. Don't miss Cramer's intuitive chat with a redoubtable device maker. Next.
Let's talk about one of the larger themes in this market that doesn't get enough love. Healthcare utilization. Hey, look, back during the pandemic, people put off all sorts of non-emergency procedures because it wasn't really safe to go to the hospital. Last year, though, they finally started playing catch-up. Not only have healthcare utilization rates normalized, they're now at higher levels than average levels. That's terrific. That's terrific for everything healthcare except the insurance companies. But you know what? We're not going to worry about them because we want to talk about Cramer Fave Intuitive Surgical, the maker of surgical robots that can handle all sorts of minimally invasive procedures. From the lows last October, this stock has now rallied 52%. That includes a major move this year after Intuitive pre-announced a blowout quarter at the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference. It was all anyone was talking about when I was out there, and it's continued to run since then. Can it keep climbing? Let's check in with Gary Guthart. He's the CEO of Intuitive Surgical with a Ph.D. in engineering science to get a better sense of where the company's going. Mr. Guthart, welcome back to Mad Money.
Jim, so happy to be back.
Okay, since I've seen you, the number of procedures This is not a niche business. 2.2 million procedures performed on the Da Vinci system just in 2023.
Yep. Yeah, we had a good year. Growth was give or take 20% through the year, and that's been really healthy for us.
And there are many procedures since you started, but I had no idea it would be as high as 14.2 million people.
Total experience to date of patients who have been treated by a surgeon using one of our products has been 14 million, sort of integrated all the way through that.
Now, there have been category after category that it has proven to be a better way to go. And particularly, I know I watched one of your videos. People like to be immersed and to do great surgery in all these different clinics. Just give us a sense of what you never thought could be accomplished and what you're accomplishing now.
Yeah, I think early on, the idea has been pretty simple. Can we bring the natural feeling of open surgery for the surgeon and the benefits of minimally invasive care for the patient so the patient has a better experience, can get back to their normal lives more quickly with less impact to the lives, less disruption? And we do that by using technology-enabled ecosystems that are integrated really nicely and provide the surgeon and the care team a great environment to take care of their patients.
Well, I want to tell something, having been a patient this year, I happen to have a quadruple hernia. My daughter dared me to lift a stone. Really smart. Remember, always do that. And I went in and I went to the doctor and said, look, I don't want scars all over the place. You can't see that I had the surgery, which is really quite amazing. That people have to be amazed at what they see or what they thought they would see versus what they got.
Yeah, I think that, patients really are looking for a really simple thing. Give me a predictable result, something that gets me a great outcome, low likelihood of complications, lets me back to my normal life.
Right.
Well, and surgeons want the ability to be able to do that. And to the extent we can help them, great. And I'm delighted that you were able to benefit from our technology.
Okay. Now, some things you can't talk about, which is an application for a new Da Vinci, the Da Vinci 5. But maybe you can tell me what's happened when you've had previous iterations get better. What has it changed? New procedures, new ways for doctors to take on more people in a day? What happens?
Right. So we iterate our surgical platforms over time. We launched our last Generation 4 multi-port platform in 2014. We have since launched a single-port platform, our Ion flexible robotics platform, and now we have submitted to FDA of a 510K package for Da Vinci 5. What are the things that we're interested in? We're interested in helping more patients that weren't getting great outcomes before. We're interested in better outcomes for those who are currently being addressed by Da Vinci. We want to do better with what we have. We want care teams to really enjoy using our products. Better care team experiences, a great comfort, easy to learn products that are highly dependable. And we want to lower the total cost to treat per patient episode.
Absolutely.
And that's what we designed to. Those are our design goals. And we're delighted to work through with the agency how to evaluate that and to talk more about it once we have a clearance.
Now, let's talk about Ion. I think a lot of people think that lung cancer, some caused by cigarettes, some not, it is under control. But it's not. And in some countries like China, you could say it's epidemic. What can Ion do?
Yeah, clearly for lung cancer, it's a high incidence rate. It's usually number two, number three in a country, but it's often the number one cancer killer. So catching it early is extremely important.
Number one.
Often. And as a result, you want to catch it early. If you can catch it early at an early stage, the likelihood of good outcome goes way up. And that's what Ion is about. Reach deep into the lungs, grab a little bit of tissue in a biopsy. It's hard to navigate manually.
Right.
It's showing great safety profiles, and we're seeing really nice adoption in the U.S. We have a start in Europe, and we're working with Chinese regulatory authorities to bring it to China.
That's sensational. Now, there is a procedure. A lot of people just talk about that. There are people saying that GLP-1 is going to collapse everything. The only one that I was aware that it might just be a trade-off is bariatric. You are the first person, I have to tell you, who actually admits, look, there is something that could be gained from GLP-1. It might be better than what we have. Tell us why you were willing to just be candid about what could happen.
I think patients don't start off thinking about what their core technologies are out there. They start thinking about what's the disease they have and what might treat it well. I can completely understand why people are interested in GLP-1s. An injection to help control diabetes or obesity makes sense. Not everybody's going to benefit from those injections. There's an issue of durability over time. The drug companies are going to evolve them.
Right.
So bariatric surgery is going to have a role. Other treatments are going to have a role. What's that balance? It will play out in time. There are some great outcomes in bariatric surgery. Patients are going to be interested in try GLP-1s, and we'll see how it evolves.
Very good. Now, the last scene is kind of off the wall, but, you know, I've been spending a lot of time talking about things that were didn't think had financing problems that did. For instance, solar. You put a solar thing in your house. Turns out solar panels, they went down dramatically because you had to finance. Hospitals have to finance. If rates come down, will hospitals be able to buy more machines?
You know, we give a lot of flexible acquisition opportunities and models to our hospital customers. If they want to lease our systems, we're able to do that. If they want to do risk-sharing models, we're able to do that. The cheapest thing they can do is buy it and hold it. And if they want to do that, we can do that, too. So we want to remove barriers for them, and we want to meet them where they are. And we've been able to do that. So we want to remove capital raises as a barrier to our customers if they believe in the clinical efficacy of our products.
Well, you were a very well-run company. Having done a fundraiser for a hospital to buy one of yours, I was struck at how professional and terrific you are.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
That's Gary Guthart. He's the Intuitive Surgical, that's ISRG CEO. This is a great company, people, both the product and the stock. Mid Money's back in for the break.
Coming up, Kramer takes your calls, and the sky's the limit. It's a fast fire lightning round. Next.
And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Skeet and Daddy? Time for the lightning round. Crimson Mice over with Alan in Florida. Alan!
How are you, Jim? Thank you for taking my call.
Alan, it's my pleasure. What's happening?
I got in Palantir Technologies a little late, about $20, but we hit a 52-week high today. And I want to know if you think there's still a run in it.
I think it goes higher. I think you actually think there's a $178 million contract at the moment with the Army. I'm not begging them to come on. I am simply imploring them to come on. Let's go to Dan in Massachusetts. Dan.
Hi, Jim. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Hey, listen, I think you do a great job on your show. I appreciate
Thank you.
That.
Thank you.
Listen, I got a question about UPath, Inc., they're in the AI technology.
Right. Look, robotic process stock that when it finally starts making a lot of money, I will talk positively. But you know what? I can't back companies that are not in Clover. Let's go to Truman in California. I always like Truman. Truman in California. Truman.
Booyah, Truman. Booyah, Jimmy.
You
there
betcha.
You go. One big one, double gauge. Hey, I recently, as a financial engineer focusing on artificial intelligence, was laid off from a regional bank, thank God. I had Jim Cramer since 2008. $2.5 million later in my retirement account, I'm retired.
Holy
and, that's what we did. I front run with the schnitzeling of some of the Mag 7s in the portfolio of Investment Club. I
okay.
front run some of the into the oils a little bit. And because I had too much cash already.
Okay.
With that, Jimmy, what do you think about Schlumberger in the club eventually?
Okay, the SLB. Well, you know, we have the Ava. Thank you for being a member of the club. We have Coterra. I look at SLB all the time. I admire the company ever since they rejected me 7 minutes into an interview in 1982, saying, you know, you're highly underqualified. I said, you betcha. But you know what? I'll tell you this about these guys. They are good. I like them right now a little bit more than Hal, just because I like the international, but I'm not going to pull the trigger. Why? Because I don't want a lot of oil and gas. Let's go to Garrett in Massachusetts. Garrett.
Booyah, Kramer.
Booyah,
I'm looking at a tech stock that's had a rough few years near all-time lows. I think it's on sale, and Kathy Wood likes it. What are your thoughts on Unity Software?
Okay, I don't really care about Kathy Wood, candidly. I do care that Jim Whitehurst is there, and here's what I want. I want Jim Whitehurst to come on the show, old friend of the show for 15 years. If he comes on the show and he says, tells us a great story, then you and I are going to say, you know what, time to pull the trigger, Unity, but not until then. Van in Colorado. Van!
Hi, Jim. Thanks to you and your team for taking my call. I
of
really
course.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I'm looking at New Fortress Energy. They posted a fourth quarter.
I want you to buy it. You know, people are worried that if someone's always going to try to stifle Wes Edens' brilliance, okay? Don't count me as one of those people. I want to buy Wes Edens. Unfortunately, there's a stock called New Fortress. That's Wes Edens. Let's go to Jeff. No. Oh, God. All right. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by Charles Schwab. Coming up, watch the Fab Five run? How an influx of AI might add muscle to these already ripped retail giants? Kramer explains when we return.
After hearing from the preponderance of retailers for the last 10 days, it's clear we're approaching a tipping point for Watch. The acronym I coined a few years ago for Walmart, Amazon, Target, Costco, and Home Depot, because these five winners seem to be pulling away from the pack. Each one has special characteristics. Walmart with its unparalleled store and traffic reach. Amazon with same-day or next-day delivery. Target with gorgeous $1 billion house brands, 11 of them now. Costco with low prices thanks to their club membership model. They report tomorrow, by the way. And Home Depot with unparalleled support for small and medium-sized contractors. This quarter, though, I noticed that something's developing, something that could make the retail have-nots fall even further behind these five haves. What is it? Simple. Only the major players with tremendous scale and huge balance sheets can afford to harness the power of artificial intelligence, specifically inference, NVIDIA's bailiwick, which gives them the ability to predict what you want with incredible accuracy, often almost simultaneously with your current choices. Just so you know, inference isn't all that new. Amazon's been using it to figure out what to show you for many years, although they've gotten a lot better, faster, and most important, accurate over time. See, the big stores have so much scale, so many customers, they can collect tremendous amounts of data. And the more data they have, the better their predictions. Data is, as Salesforce.com would tell you, many a time the new gold. Aided by companies like Salesforce's Einstein product, their hit ratio of what you might want is extraordinary. Contrast that to, say, Nordstrom or Macy's, two great places I love to shop, but they don't have as much data. They lack the scale to make it work as well, let alone pay for all the technology needed to truly come up with great predictions. No, they're not a scattershot with the advertising, say, the newspaper or old-fashioned TV. But if you're Nordstrom and your in-store traffic goes down while your e-com business stagnates, something we heard on last night's conference call, you might not get enough data for reliable inference, and you'll continue to fall behind the other guys. It's a vicious cycle down. At one time, all that mattered in retail was inventory management and a merchant's good eye. If they had that terrific feel for what might be hot and took on the right amount of product, then they'd have a good year. Neither was easy. You had to keep one eye on fashion, the other eye on just maintaining inventory, which meant, in my father's case, at the now-defunct Gimbel's, counting up men's gabardine trousers on a day when the store had to close to ensure it had all the merchandise it thought it had. Now, when we know that Target has clean inventories, we presume the stock will be up at least 2 to 3%, because that means the company can bring in new product without having to discount the old stuff to get rid of it. Target's had a miraculous run from its great quarter yesterday because of low inventories, decision to spend more on improved loyalty program. Guess what? That'll give them even more data. Of course, some retailers have a terrific sense of what's going to work no matter what. Patrice Louvet, CEO of Ralph Lauren, put up unbelievably good numbers, and his stock soared, aided by clever online pushes and great outputs that are capturing today's zeitgeist. Some retailers have a tremendous sense of value, like TJX, that come in struggling bricks-and-mortar shops, like the soon-to-be-closed group of Macy's stores the company just mentioned, and then TJX buys up that excess inventory for ultra-low prices with cash. Other merchants, Lauren Hobart, unsung, Dick's Sporting Goods, Laura Albert, sung by here because we think she's terrific, Williams-Sonoma, tremendous eye for what will sell. Stocks are incredible. By the way, I believe that Tony Spring, now running Macy's, has a fabulous eye. He came from Bloomingdale's. But there are activists that are bent on getting it sold or buying. Either way, we might not be able to see Spring work his magic, which I think would be a shame. Abercrombie was down today, but not because the numbers were bad. It's simply that the stock got too hot. I bet it bounces right back. Most of all, though, I like how Marvin Ellison has fixed up Lowe's to the point where many of us gardeners can't wait for the spring to walk the aisles of their nice, bright stores. No retailer is permanent. Without the scale, the heft, and the balance sheet, you're going to get pigeonholed as niche or boutique these days. Many of the niche and boutique chains can make you money as stocks. One look at the Abercrombie chart tells you that's all you need to know. But in an era where generative AI and inference are in play, data is indeed king. And the little guys will always struggle now to keep up unless management's so deft that it can compete in what's increasingly looking like a stacked data deck. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise I'd find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. Last call starts now.
All opinions expressed by Jim Cramer on this podcast are solely Cramer's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Cramer on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Jim Cramer as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Cramer's opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Mad Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Mad Money disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.